desire, prayer, word of this, his word tonight, bless him. Needs the Lord, feel very dependent upon him. Have a burden, a very great concern for souls. I'm concerned about my soul too.
Amen.
The Lord knows when we're trying to make heaven, it's gonna take a good Lord to help us to get there. I want to read a couple of scriptures for our presence tonight. The first one is found in Isaiah 40:1. The third verse, it says, "The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass. All the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." One add another scripture to that. It's found in the 90th Psalm. I'm going to begin reading in the third verse. "Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For a thousand years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, they are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, in the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom."
Yes, Lord God.
I'm thinking tonight about every one of us here on a journey. We're all on a journey to eternity. We're all going somewhere. Every face that I see tonight, every body is a vehicle for a soul that's going to eternity. And I thought about Job. He said in the 14th chapter in the first verse, "A man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." And surely we've all heard about, maybe even had to deal with, our share of trouble in this life. But there's trouble everywhere you look today.
Yeah.
The scriptures that we read tells us, reminds us, that life is very brief at best.
Yes.
Life doesn't really last all that long, and it's very fragile. And we are very frail individuals. There's really not anything that we can say or do to cause us to breathe or live another minute. Apostle Paul said it's through him, through Christ, through God, that we live and move and have our being.
Yes.
He gives life, he gives breath, and he gives all things. But we live in a time where people are not looking to the one that gives life. They're not looking to the one or thinking about the one that's giving them the breath that they breathe every day. Been experiencing shortness of breath lately, and I was thanking the Lord the other day, Lord, I thank you for every one of them. Some of them are a little hard to get, but I thank you for breath.
Yes.
And I thank you for life, but I'm learning, and I've learned a lot about getting to the age that I am now, how frail that life really is. He said, the flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. It withereth, and it fadeth. And surely we all know that. We all see that. I took a drive over here to the cemetery. Maybe it was this morning. I believe it was this morning. And I was looking at some of the graves. I wanted to see Brother Martin and Sister Verna's grave. And, you know, I knew him and them many, many years ago when I was just a little boy.
Yeah.
I was there the night that Brother Mark Sammons went to that altar and got saved. I saw him get saved.
Yeah.
And I remember all how he worked with the young people and the zeal that he had and the love that he had for the Lord. But I saw on there, it said 1998. January the 14th, Brother Mark went on. He went on into eternity. But he left us a good testimony, thank the Lord.
Yeah.
Every one of us is going to have a marker one of these days. Every one of us is going to have a little dash between those numbers, and that little dash is our life. It's the time that we have right now. The opportunities that is given to each one of us right now. But one day the reality of it is that the flesh is as grass. It withereth and it fade away, and one day it's going to go back. He said, thou turnest man to destruction and say, return ye children of men. One of these days the flesh is going to go back to the dust from which it came. God commanded that it would be so. And it will be so.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
You know, that's wonderful to be able to have control in what you want to do with your life.
Yes.
It's wonderful God has given us that privilege, given us that ability to make choices and decide with what I want to do with my life. But I want to tell you something tonight, and I've heard it, and we've heard it in the meeting. It's not in us to direct our steps.
No, no.
If we don't have God, we're going to mess up.
Yeah.
If we don't have God, we're going to do whatever the flesh wants us to do.
That's true.
The fact of it is, the writer said here, teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. The Lord wants us, He wants to give us wisdom. How to live life and how to live it properly. And the only real benefit that you're going to get out of this life, folks, when eternity does come, the only benefit that you're going to have is the life that you've lived for God.
Yes.
The life that you've lived for God. Life is brief. But I noticed that he said something else here. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord dwelleth upon him. You know, there's a lot of things that we decide we want to do with our lives. A lot of things that we want to get involved in and places we want to go. And a lot of decisions that we make that mainly for self and what I desire and my pleasures in life. But the Scripture says that the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. And I want to say tonight, there's people that have sat under the sound of the gospel, most of them all their lives, many of them for many years, and they're trying to get by. You know, sometimes we want to see just how much I can get by. How much can I get by with? I want to tell you, if you're not living for the Lord tonight, if you're running from the Lord, you don't know the Lord as you ought to know the Lord, I want to say He's blowing on your life tonight.
Oh, yes.
He's blowing on those things that you're trying to do to go out and get satisfied and satisfying that flesh. And I want to say this, and I know this from experience. When I was a young man, I was saved and I was living for the Lord, and I went away from the Lord and I went out into the world, and I have a purpose for telling you this. Most of you already know it, but I went out into the world to taste the things that were out in the world, but I was not like those other folks out there. Every time I went out to taste something, my mind always came back to what I believed, what I was raised. It always came back to the things that I was taught when I was a young boy. I couldn't enjoy the things out there in the world like they could. Once you set under the gospel, folks, once the Holy Spirit has dealt with your soul, you cannot be the same anymore. You can't do it. And God is faithful. He before that He sends judgment on any man in any person's life, He's faithful to send His word. Yes. He's faithful to send His counsel. He's faithful to deal with our souls, isn't He?
Oh yes.
We can say that tonight. He is faithful to do that. God wouldn't cut anyone off.
No, no.
Without giving them an opportunity to find His Son as their Savior, He wouldn't do that. But I want to say tonight that God's blowing on an awful lot of lives tonight. People out there trying to take their own way and doing their own things and doing it within themselves, trying to do it without God. And God is blowing on that, and He's causing you, He's trying to get you to understand, you need me. You need me. I can remember when I was in my 20s and got married and started having children, I thought, well, I got a long, long life ahead of me. Wow, how those 40 years went by.
Yes.
They go by quickly. They go by quickly.
Yes.
I was 38 years old when I finally found the Lord for the last time. I'm going to hold on to Him this time. And I'm realizing more and more how brief that life really is.
Oh, yes.
I'm realizing more and more. Now I'm watching my children. We have four children. Every one of them in their 30s with their own family. And I'm watching how God is blowing on some things. Yes. And yet they just keep pushing bullheaded right on, trying to take their own way. Right. Not stopping and taking time to understand the brevity of life. Teach us, Lord, to number our days. We get so caught up with ourself and what we want and the things that we want to get involved in and the things that we want to do. How I just want life a certain way, and when it doesn't go that way, I'm going to change and I'm going to do something else. Folks, the only change that we can make that's going to bring any peace and any real joy in your life is to run to God.
Yes, that's so.
To come to God. He said, our days are passed away in the wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. You know, I've used that scripture, and probably some of the other ministers have too, at the funerals, some of the funerals that I have ministered. And folks, I want to tell you, you look upon that body over there. Some of you probably heard me tell this, but 2 years ago, I stood there beside the casket of my older brother. He was 19 years older than me. And he was right over there to my left. And I was preaching to my family. I was preaching to his children. I was preaching to the friends and the neighbors that he had affected with his life. And I said, right over there lays a scoundrel. Right over there lays a man that I would have never had mercy on. Wow, that's cruel. Looking his children right in the face. Right over there lays a man that I've been in his house when he was drunk in a drunken stupor. I've been in his house when he was laying out in the gutters and all drunked up and away from his family for 2 and 3 weeks at a time and off of his job. And my parents take me over there and take clothes and take groceries for his 6 children and his wife. There was one time I hated that man. That was my brother. He spent his years as a tale that is told. But you know, God had mercy on him. God dealt with his soul. Mothers, don't stop praying for your children. The man was 77 years old. And the Lord had mercy on his soul. I was shocked when I went to the hospital that night. He called, he had his daughter, my niece called me and said, Dad wants to talk to you, and he wants to talk to you in the hospital. He doesn't want to talk to you on the phone. alone. My wife and I went in, and I walked in the room, and he said, Larry, I got something now that I can't cheat. I got something now that I can't do anything about. I said, now it's time for you to quit worrying or quit trying to get out of something and figure out how to live, but it's time for you to get ready to die.
Yeah.
And he said, I know that. You know, I didn't know it when I was preaching to him there, but he'd already been doing that. You know, that night, he showed me, drew me a diagram of the two cancers that he had in his stomach. And they said if they didn't do anything, if the doctors didn't go in and take it out, he was surely going to die. I said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going home tomorrow. I said, can I have prayer with you? Yes, I want you to. Folks, that wasn't my brother. Never in 77 years have I ever known that man to want prayer. Never have I ever seen him. Of course, I'm sure he did when he was younger because he had the same parents I did. But I've never seen him set his feet inside of a church for worship service. I've heard him take God's name in vain. I've seen him in drunk. He was an alcoholic for over 40 years of his life. He split up his home, his wife left him, and all those kind of things that happened with that kind of thing. And yet, here's my brother that says, I want you to. Never heard such a thing out of his mouth. I remember holy taking hold of his hand. And I remember bowing my head and closing my eyes and saying a prayer. And when I said amen, he said, bless the Lord. And my head jerked up to see if someone else got in bed. I never heard that man say, bless the Lord in his life. Never heard it. But you know, reality set in. I've spit my ears. I've told my tale. And it hasn't been a very good tale. I've been unfaithful to my wife. I've been unfaithful to my children. I've been unfaithful to the man that I work for. I've been a cheater. He lived in the bars. You know how he lived without going to work? He cheated at cards. He dealt me out a stack of cards one time, and I looked at my hand. He says, how much you want to bet? I said, I'll bet anything. I had four kings and something else in my hand. If you know anything about poker, I don't know much about it. But I said, with a hand like this, it's got to be a winner. He said, you'll bet anything, huh? I watched him deal the cards. He laid his hand down and had four aces. Four aces. And he just laughed. He said, that's the way I made my drinking money. Spent his years as a tale that is told. But now reality has set in. So I'm going to go home tomorrow. He said, Larry, I'm tired. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of dealing with life. I'm going to go home tomorrow. I said, Carl, you're going to die? He said, I'm ready. I said, are you ready? He said, I'm ready. He had been alone with God. You know, it doesn't take, you don't have to beg God to do something He wants to do. You don't have to do that. It doesn't take a great earthquake. Even a doubt and out sinner, folks, you don't have to beg God because He wants to save every one of us. Oh, I went to his home, hospice came in, and just a few weeks, didn't last very long, and I prayed with him, we sung with him. Different man. Oh, I wish my mother and father could have seen that. They didn't get to see it here. But oh, they prayed many a prayer. I heard them. Prayed many a prayer for him. But, you know, he had 77 years that he threw away. You know, the only scripture that I could, that the Lord had mercy on me, he gave me the scripture. The man got his penny. He got his penny.
That's right.
And when I said, he got his penny, his son looked over at his wife and said, my dad got his penny. When I was telling them what a mean man he was, what a terrible man he was. I wasn't doing good enough. One of his children even put an adjective in there for me to help me out. They knew what kind of father they had. They knew what kind of father they had. You know, the enemy, he wants to just drag you down.
Oh, yeah.
And he followed it for 77 years. But I still believe tonight that it was mom and dad's prayers that followed after him. Laid up there I don't believe God forgot about him. And I believe with all my heart that man died in that. I believe that. But I told him, not me. I wouldn't have had mercy on that man. I couldn't have done it. I knew too much about him. The night that they laid my mother in that casket, and the night of the viewing, she's laying there in that casket, two men in white coats brought my brother in. And he didn't have a clue where he was. He was so sedated and out of it. He was in the crazy ward at the hospital at that time. Didn't even have enough presence of mind to respect his own mother laying there in the casket. That was when I hated him. I wasn't saved then. The Lord surely took that hate away. Folks, the devil, life, teach us, Lord, to number our days. But the thing of it is, you look around and people say, that ain't going to happen to me. It ain't going to happen to me. What makes you think you're any better than someone else when it comes to standing up to the devil? I think about a couple of Bible characters. I think about King David, and I relate to him a lot. Because King David he messed up. He messed up a lot. He went out there, he took another man's wife, and he had the husband killed, and he couldn't get along with his son Absalom, and even Absalom ran him off of his throne and tried to run him out of the city. He went out there and he wanted to number Israel to see how many fighting men he had. And Joab said, please don't number Israel. But the scripture says, the Lord allowed the enemy to come in and trouble David and trouble Israel. David messed up.
Yes, he did.
But you know what the scriptures say about David? He had a heart after God's own heart. God loved him, and David loved God. And every time that he got in trouble, he always put himself with the mercy of God, didn't he? He said, well, you know, do you want to have famine? I have that written down here. You want to have 3 months being destroyed by your enemies? You want to have 3 years of famine? Or you want to have 3 days of pestilence? He said, I'll put myself into the hands of the Lord because it's better to do that than to put yourself in the hands of men. He messed up. He realized he messed up. Put himself in the hand of the Lord. People today messing up.
Yes,
and yet they won't put themselves in the hands of the Lord. They're still running after the things of men. Still running after the things of the world, the pleasure. You know, the devil's got more toys and playthings today for our precious young people than he ever had when I was growing up.
Yeah, that's right.
He's got more things, powerful things, to draw their minds and their attention and appeal to their flesh. Much more than he had when I was growing up. David said, let me fall into the hand of the Lord. You know, I can relate to David. I messed up. You ever messed up? I messed up a lot in my life. We mess up. We don't always do things right. Devil comes in and takes advantage of us, doesn't he? Our past isn't always what we want it to be. But nevertheless, this old flesh is his grasp, folks. Tomorrow, someday soon, it's going to be cut down and it's going to wither up and fade away.
That's so.
There ain't anything we can do about it. There ain't anything we can do to stop that. Oh, I think about another fellow. I don't know that I relate to him so much. But I tell you, he was a very foolish man. And that was Samson.
Yes.
Samson was a very foolish man. I believe he was one of those fellows that just wanted to see what he could get away with. He just wanted to see what he could get away with. Here's a man that had been ordained by God, had been given to God, a Nazarite unto him, and God used him to judge Israel. And God blessed him, and whenever the time came and it needed to happen, said the Spirit of the Lord came upon this man. And he went out and he slain his enemies. But he wanted to see what he could get by with. What does the devil use to tempt you? What does the devil use to tempt us, folks? He knows our weaknesses.
Yes, he does.
He knows what draws us away. But he got interested in this little woman down there that he should have never been interested in. And you know, the devil gets us so blinded. She told him, you know, that the Philistines had come and said, you get him to get captivated so we can destroy him, and every one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver. Every one of us will give you that much. So she tried, she asked him, where's your strength? How come? Well, you know, if you bind me with these new rope, and if you bind me with the cords, and you bind me with this, and you weave my head hair into seven locks and weave it with the web, you know. She tried every one of those, and every time when she said the Philistines be up on him, he rose up, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he pulled everything off, and he went out and left them. But you know, he was playing with God. He was playing with God. People are playing with God today. People are playing. Folks, you're playing with your soul. You're bartering your soul. It's like Russian roulette. You're taking a chance that you're going to go out and do what you want to do, and tomorrow you're going to get up and rise again. You don't have that guarantee. No. You don't have a guarantee of tomorrow. You're playing with your soul. The day finally came whenever she moved upon him, and Samson, playing the fool. He was a foolish man. He was a foolish man.
Yes.
And he played the fool, and he told her all of his heart. And she realized that he had told her all of his heart and said, you come this time, and this time I'll deliver him into your hands, and shaved off his hair. He was a Nazarite. His hair had never been cut off. And he told her that. And it said, when she said, the Philistines be upon thee, he rose up just like he did every other time. But the scripture said he didn't know that the Spirit of the Lord had left him.
Yes.
Folks, I'm going to tell you something about dealing with God. We can rise up tomorrow and do our own thing all over again. But the time can come. And the time may come when you go to seek the Lord and not realize that His Spirit has left you.
Yes.
No man cometh to the Father except the Spirit which sent me draw him. Folks, that's the way God operates.
Oh, yeah.
He tells us over there in the New Testament writing, He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy.
Yes.
On whom I will harden.
Yeah.
I've looked back upon my life several times. When I was growing up, I grew up with Brother Donald's nephew, Billy Sharp.
Yes.
I grew up with David Baird, Brother McCoy's grandson. Yeah. I grew up, those fellas and I, and Brother Tony and his brother Stoney and John, we all grew up together there, played ball, rode motorcycles, did all kinds of things together. And then I remember hearing what happened to poor old Billy.
Yeah.
I don't recall Billy ever going down to that altar. I don't remember him ever trying to get saved.
Yeah.
I don't remember him ever being tender to the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And then I got word that Billy was down there in Florida. Mm-hmm. And Billy was coming home from a music gig somewhere, and he fell asleep at the wheel, the way I understand it.
Yes, that's right.
And he went out into eternity to meet God.
Mm-hmm.
And I remembered all when I heard that. My mind went back to the times when I was out there away from God and I was in a drunken stupor. I remember when I was doing those kind of foolish things. And I said, oh God, thank you for mercy tonight.
Yes.
Thank you for mercy. Well, that could have been me just as well as Billy Sharp.
Yes.
I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Folks, do you know what it means when God has truly had mercy on you? When God has truly looked down upon you and spared your life, and you see friends and loved ones going out into eternity unprepared to meet God. Billy was about a year or two younger than I am. And that happened several years ago.
Now his brother committed suicide.
His brother committed suicide.
He committed suicide.
Well, enough about that.
Yep.
I want to turn over to Psalms 37 chapter. 23rd verse. Listen to this closely. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I want to tell you tonight, if you've messed up, if you're not where you know you ought to be with God, I want to tell you tonight, though he falls, you shall not be utterly cast down. I thought of the thought, how far is hell? How far away from us tonight is hell? You know, it's chilling to my soul to think of hell. To think of what it really is and what it really represents for lost souls. It's chilling to me to think of souls that will throw away their life and barter their souls to go to that awful place. But I want to say tonight that there's hope for every one of us. The writer John said, I would not that you would sin, but if you sin, we have an advocate.
Yes,
you know, there's people that have started with God, people that have started walking with the Lord, and they failed, and they've let down, and let the enemy take advantage of them. I know what that's like. Many others in here know what that's like.
Yes.
But I'm glad tonight there's hope.
Yes.
Amen. Yes.
He shall not be utterly. That's not the final thing, because God is still God.
Yes.
And what I want to tell you tonight, that is, God is a merciful God. The scripture says about Jesus, a bruised reed he will not break. Smoking flax he will not quench. And I want to tell you tonight, if you've been bruised, if there's a little bit of fire still burning within your soul, just a little bitty flame, he doesn't want to quench that flame.
No.
He doesn't want to put it out. He doesn't want to break you. He said, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Oh, folks, tonight the Lord loves each and every one of us. Now, I'm not going to belabor my little message tonight, but I know that the story that I told about my brother, there's many of us that could tell those kind of stories.
Amen.
But when it comes right into your own family, it hits home pretty hard.
Yeah,
it hits home really hard. The folks, we deal with a sovereign God tonight. He does what He will. It is His world. It is His universe. And He said in His word, all souls are mine.
Yeah.
All souls are mine. But yet tonight we sit here with a choice, don't we?
Yes.
We sit here with a choice, with the opportunity to escape hell. I'll tell you how far away it is. If you're not ready to meet God, it's one breath away.
Yeah.
Just one breath. One heartbeat away, folks. Hell is just one heartbeat away if you're not ready to meet God.
Yeah, so.
But don't have to be in that situation. My brother, that I said I wouldn't have mercy on him. I want to tell you here tonight, folks, if you've lived that kind of a life, or if you've lived a life where your family has turned on you, if you've lived a life where your family's forsaken you, I want to tell you tonight, God has that kind of mercy.
Yes.
He loves you.
Amen.
He loves every one of us in here tonight. God has that kind of mercy. I thought about the scripture over in 108 Psalms. He said, mercy, thy mercy is great unto the heavens. Thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Oh, I got a hold of that about a year or so ago. And that's been dear to me, folks. We, everyone tonight, need mercy. Every one of us.
Yes. Yes.
There hasn't been a point in our time in our life when we didn't need mercy. I think about that dear man hanging on the cross. One of them railed on him and said, if you be the Savior, save yourself and save us. The other one turned and said, Lord, remember me.
Yeah.
When thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus didn't preach him a sermon, folks.
Yeah.
He said, today Praise God. Today, thou shalt dwell with me in paradise. What was that? That was mercy, folks. He was a thief. He was a scoundrel. He was being hung for things that he had done that the community, the whole city, knew that he was that kind of a man. He was justly being put to death according to their laws. But just like that, truth and mercy met together.
Yeah.
He's looking on truth. And he says, remember me. And he said, today. You know, it wasn't time for a sermon. Sometimes, folks, when you get in a difficult place and you just need God, you pray, God, have mercy on me.
Yes, that's so.
I want to tell you, I heard a testimony down in Holly Hill a couple weeks ago in the meeting. A sister came up from Florida, Sister Edwards. She had been in an auto accident maybe late last year. She was driving down the highway down there in Florida, and she looked up, and all of a sudden, there was a vehicle coming right towards her on a four-lane highway. The man was being chased by the policeman, and he was on the wrong side of the road, and he hit her head on. And she testified down there. She said, I want to tell you something, folks. God had mercy on me. I didn't have time. She said within a second or two at the most, the crash. We came together. I didn't have time to say, God have mercy. I didn't have time to cry out. God had mercy on me. Got out of that car and was walking around when the police came on the scene. Took her to the hospital, checked her out, kept her there and said, there's got to be something wrong with you. She said, I don't feel anything. I don't feel like anything. There's got to be something wrong with you. And they kept checking her and they couldn't find anything wrong. That's the God we serve tonight. That's the God we serve tonight. But just like that, she said, I looked up and I didn't have time to swerve, turn, or say anything. We don't know how we're going to leave this world.
No, that's so.
God had mercy, folks. He wants to have mercy on us tonight. I think, too, that I think about Moses and how God dealt with him. And he told him when he was to build the tabernacle. That's back under the old law, way before our time, way before Christ's time. But he said, I want you to build a tabernacle, a place to worship me. And I'm going to shorten it, but it's over there, and it says, he said, I want you to build a mercy seat. There's going to be a mercy seat in that tabernacle. And the cherubims are going to be above it. But he said, underneath the mercy seat, I want you to put the word of the testimony. I want you to put the commandments. I want you to put my law underneath the mercy seat. But he said, I will meet you at the mercy seat. That's where I will come down and meet my people. God knows how frail that we are. He knows how frail that life is. He knows that we need mercy from God, folks. Tonight he's offering mercy. I will meet you. Mercy was above the word there. The mercy, he said, I will meet you at the mercy seat. Put the word under the mercy seat. Mercy reacheth unto the heavens. Truth reacheth unto the clouds. I'm not discounting the word, folks. It's very valuable and very important to us. Jesus said, the words I've spoken, the same shall judge you. The word is very important. But I'm saying tonight, when I need help from God, it's mercy that I need. It's mercy that I cry out for.
So.
Many times there are people all over this world, Brother Jim and others that have been in the war can testify. When you get in a hard place over there and there's battles, I'm sure many a young man has cried out, Lord, have mercy on me.
That's right.
And there's people sitting here tonight that's got opportunity to do business with God for their souls. And God is wanting to have mercy on you. We've been sitting in these services. I've heard the messages that have gone forth. We haven't done anything. To receive the mercy that God has for us. I want to say this tonight. Jesus took it a little step farther. He said, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor. Whoever we are. Brother said last night about love waxing cold. You know, that implies that one time that love was hot.
Yes.
Is your love hot? Have you allowed the enemy to take advantage of you in your life? Have you run into troubles that just piling up over your head? And you don't know what to do about it. Things are out of control. I went out to see just how much I could get by with, and it bit me. And it's caught up with me.
Oh.
You know, I know. I know that is a reality because I know how the devil works.
Oh, yes.
I know how he works. I know how he works with people. He wants to get us under bondage.
Yes.
He wants to get us to feel hopeless. And I'm telling you tonight, Jesus said, come unto me, all that are heavy laden, and God will give you rest. And I know that that has other meaning. But folks, Jesus wants us to come unto Him. That's who the Lord, that's who God sent. He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should have everlasting life.
Yeah.
Why would we turn down everlasting life just to go to a devil's house? Why would we do that? The enemy has people's minds blinded today. He does. People, you don't see, you don't realize, you don't see the end. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know where death is.
No.
We don't know what's around the corner. We don't know what's over the hill. Took me down to Honduras. I went down to Honduras in February, and we were over there on the mainland, and we was driving down this road, and it's after dark, about 9:30 at night. We went over this hill, and I looked ahead of me, and there's a river over there. No bridge. I said, now what do we do? And someone said, we get out and walk. I said, oh Lord. My back went out, and I was in a lot of pain. I said, I think I'll go with him. I didn't know who the man was or anything, but I think I'll go with him. We don't know what's over the next rise, do we?
No, we don't.
But folks, we know what the enemy is trying to do with us now. We know where we are now. We know. I believe we know where we are with God. And I want to say tonight, we don't have to be a David. We don't have to be a Samson. But if we have been either one of them, if we've been like my brother, I want to say there's mercy. God sent them out. The laborers out at 11 o'clock at night, and they got their penny too.
Oh, yes.
But oh, the Lord wants to save us while we're young so we can live for Him, work for Him, be a blessing for Him. Why would anyone want to die lost? Why would we want to? We say, well, I don't want to. But yet the decision is in your hands, isn't it? The decision is in our hands. I make the choice. And tonight I'm going to tell you that I was reading the scripture today where Jesus said something about we have piped unto you and you have not danced. We mourn unto you and you have not lamented. I've heard this gospel preached. I've heard these kind of stories told year after year after year. And we've done it every way that we know. And yet God is still merciful to send the gospel message. He's still merciful to send the Spirit and deal with people's souls. And the people are still rejecting God.
Absolutely.
Oh, Lord. Jesus went on to say, wisdom is justified of her children. People rejecting the wise choice.
Yes.
People rejecting Christ.
Yes.
Lord, help us tonight. I pray that the Lord is dealing with hearts here tonight. I don't believe the Lord would send a message like this if there wasn't a need for it. Folks, whatever it is, wherever the enemy has tripped you up, it doesn't matter. We don't need to know. You need to tell God. You need to come to the Lord with a broken heart. And you need to say, Lord, have mercy on me.
Yeah.
Have mercy. Samson did. When he finally got to the place over there and his hair had grown back some, and he said, Lord, just this one last time.
Yeah.
But you know what? When Samson was taken over there, he had his eyes put out.
Yeah.
Couldn't see anymore. That's what sin does. That's what the enemy does, folks. Put your eyes out.
Yes.
Don't want you to see what he's doing. Don't want you to see how he's handling you.
That's right.
And yet he just brings you down and down and down and down. Don't want you to see how it's destroying even your flesh. I think Brother Ed said our body wasn't made to handle sin.
No, it wasn't.
I know that to be true.
Yeah.
I know that to be true. But tonight, I want to offer mercy. God wants to offer mercy tonight.
Yes.
Let's get a song and sing it. And listen, folks, listen to the Word of God tonight. The flesh, it's like grass. You know, when I get home at the end of the week or early next week, I'm going to have to mow the grass and cut it off. The flesh, just like grass, is going to be cut off. It soon fades away. And we're spending our years right now as a tale that is told. Preacher can't get up and preach anybody into heaven. You've already preached your own life.
Yes.
You've already told your own tale. You've already lived the way that you want to live. It's the testimony that you leave behind.
That's so.
That's the only thing the preacher has. And stand there before those that are still living and try to get them to understand they need to be prepared.
That's so.
And they need to be ready for that day when they're laying up here in the box. Lord, have mercy on us.
Yes.